This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to Sahaba Profiles. We continue the discussion on the life of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu an. So far we have discussed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself referred to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu an as أعلم أمتي بالحلال والحرام, the most knowledgeable from my ummah when it comes to matters of halal and haram, matters of permissible and impermissible. We explain how he had accepted Islam when he was a young boy on the hands of Mus'ab bin Umair radiyallahu an, who had been sent as a teacher and preacher by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people of Medina whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in Makkah. How he was part of the group of 72 that traveled to Makkah, the Bay'at Aqaba, and took the pledge of allegiance at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How he and his friends broke the idol or threw the idol into the rubbish dump of Amr bin Jamuh repeatedly until it led to the acceptance of Islam by Amr bin Jamuh radiyallahu an, when he left his idol with a sword to defend itself, and the idol could not defend itself. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah to Medina, Mu'adh ibn Jabal spent excessive amounts of time in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, benefiting from him directly, gaining knowledge of the Quran and the teachings of Islam. To such an extent, we discussed one or two incidents in our last discussion, how when one of the tabi'een went to Hims in Sham, and they saw a big group of people, and here was a man who when he was speaking, it was as if pearls were emanating from his mouth. And upon inquiry, it was said that that is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and how the other companions would turn to him, for a decision in matters of where there was a difference of opinion, and how because he had learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a young age, he had the respect of many of his companions. He was one of those six who had compiled the Quran in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I explained that that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent him to Makkah al-Mukarramah after the conquest of Makkah, because many people had started to accept Islam so that he could teach them. Now, continuing the discussion from there onwards, they came thereafter a group of people from Yemen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they came and they accepted Islam. And after they accepted Islam, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that send somebody with us who can teach us our deen. Send somebody with us who can teach us our deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal as a teacher. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then walked him out of Medina and continued to walk with him to the point where Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu an, he was on the top, mounted on the camel, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking, and he walked for a long distance, and he gave Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu an different advices. And at one point he said, Ya Mu'adh, innaka asa alla talqani ba'da aami hadha, wa la'allaka an tamurra bi masjidi wa qabri. That, O Mu'adh, it's possible that after today you will not meet me. This will be our last meeting. And the next time you come, you'll be coming to my masjid and you'll be coming to my grave. And naturally, Mu'adh ibn Jabal broke down crying. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him advice and told him, if you live your life as I have taught you the teachings of Islam, then you would meet me in a good condition on the day of Qiyamah. And thereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed on. And when Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu returned to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was no longer alive. He then was there in the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and he was also there at the time of Umar bin Farooq radiyallahu anhu, when Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Farooq was the real ruler and the Khalifa. Then, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had done, Umar radiyallahu Allah sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Bani Kilab to teach them as well, to assist them in the matters, to mediate, to arbitrate, and to assist them in that particular way. And then after that, Umar radiallahu anhu, on one occasion, the people of Sham, who at that time were under the leadership of Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, they came to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they said, look, the numbers of the Muslims are growing in the area of Sham. There are many Muslims, but they are new reverts to the deen. And we require people to come and teach them. We require people to come and educate them. So give us someone. So Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he called that group of people who gathered the Quran in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called them together and he said to them, listen, I need to send someone from amongst you to go to Sham to educate the people. However, I do not want to impose my decision upon you. So you people decide amongst yourselves. You people come up with a decision as to who would go and who would stay. So they came back to him immediately and they said, look, amongst them, who were these people? One was Mu'adh bin Jabal, the other was Ubadah bin Samit, the other was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the other was Ubayy ibn Ka'b, and the other was Abu Darda. So amongst them, they said, look, Abu Ayyub is elderly. So we wouldn't expect of him now to relocate to Sham and to leave his family and to make the sacrifice. Ubay ibn Ka'b, he doesn't keep well. His health is not all that good. So the three of us will go. Ubadah bin Samit, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and Abu Darda radiallahu anh. So Umar radiallahu anh told them, okay, start with Hims. Then once you are satisfied that you have taught the people there to a basic extent, one of you stay behind and the other two go to Damascus. And then once you are satisfied that you have taught them the very basics, one of you stay behind and the third then will go to Palestine. فَقَامَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّ الثَّلَاثَةُ بِمَا أَمَرَهُمْ بِهِ الْفَارُوقِ فِي حِمْسِ. They went first to Hims. And then what happened? Ubadah bin Samit stayed behind. Then they came to Damascus and Abu Darda radiallahu anh stayed behind. And then Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anh continued to Palestine. Previously, when we spoke about Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anh, we spoke about how the plague of Amwas broke out and how many Sahaba passed away in that plague. Now, Abu Ubaidah passed away and Mu'adh ibn Jabal performed the janazah salah of Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anh. And not long thereafter, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anh passed away. And he was singing these couplets in his final moments. Marhaban bil mawti marhaban, zairun ja'a ba'da ghiyabin. He said that, welcome to death, welcome. You have come to visit after a very long absence, And he continued with those couplets and making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he finally succumbed. Many historians say he was very young at that time. He was probably in about his 30s when he passed away. He's buried in what is today known as Jordan, very close to another a border between Jordan and Palestine, if those who travel in those parts, they would get the opportunity of visiting the grave of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the ability to follow in the footsteps of these noble personalities. Sahaba profiles from myself, Sulaiman Ravid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.